जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी।
And now chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation. King Parikshit inquired from Shukdev Goswami, O learned Brahman, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with the modes of passion and ignorance. How then could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan? Demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints cleansed of the dirt of material enjoyment hardly ever render pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Mukunda. Therefore, how could Vritrasura have become such a great devotee? In this material world, there are as many living entities as atoms. Among these living entities, a very few are human beings, and among them, a few are interested in following religious principles. O best of the Brahmins, Shukdev Goswami, out of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. Among many thousands who desire liberation, one may actually achieve liberation, giving up material attachment to society, friendship, love, country, home, wife, and children. And among many thousands of such liberated persons, one who can understand the true meaning of liberation is very rare. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Vritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous sinful demon, always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others. How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? My dear Lord Shukdev Goswami, although Vritrasura was a sinful demon, he showed the prowess of a most exalted Kshatriya and satisfied Lord Indra in battle. How could such a demon be a great devotee of Lord Krishna? These contradictions have caused me great doubt, and they have made me eager to hear of this from you. Sri Suta Goswami said, after hearing Maharaj Parikshit's very intelligent question, Shukdev Goswami, the most powerful sage, began answering his disciple with great affection. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, O King, I shall speak to you the same history I have heard from the mouths of Vyasadeva, Narad, and Devala. Please listen with attention. O King Parikshit, in the province of Shurasena, there was a king named Chitraketu who ruled the entire earth. During his reign, the earth produced all the necessities for life. This Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity, and youth. He was born in a high family, he had a complete education, and he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. His queens all had beautiful faces and attractive eyes, yet neither his opulences, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor, were sources of happiness for him. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe without engagement, by his sweet will, he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Chitraketu immediately stood up from his throne and offered him worship. He offered drinking water and edibles, and in this way performed his duty as a host to a great guest. When the rishi was seated very comfortably, the king, restraining his mind and senses, sat on the ground at the side of the rishi's feet. O King Pariksit, when Chitraketu, bent low in humility, was seated at the lotus feet of the great sage, the sage congratulated him for his humility and hospitality. The sage Angira addressed him in the following words,
"My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. When the seven properties of material nature, namely the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification, are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. O King, O Lord of humanity, when a king directly depends upon his associates and follows their instructions, he is happy. Similarly, when his associates offer their gifts and activities to the king and follow his orders, they are also happy. O King, are your wives, citizens, secretaries and servants, and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons, and your other dependents? If the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him. His provincial governors present taxes on time, without resistance, and want to speak of lesser servants. O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal. Is this because of you yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety.
O King Pariksit, although the great sage Angira knew everything, he inquired from the king in this way. Thus King Chitraketu, desiring a son, bent low in great humility and spoke to the great sage as follows.
O great Lord Angira, because of austerity, knowledge, and transcendental samadhi, you are freed from all the reactions of sinful life. Therefore, as a perfect yogi, you can understand everything external and internal regarding embodied conditioned souls like us. O great soul, you are aware of everything, yet you are asking me why I am full of anxiety. Therefore, in response to your order, let me disclose the cause. As a person aggrieved by hunger and thirst is not pleased by the external gratification of flower garlands or sandalwood pulp, I am not pleased with my empire, opulence, or possessions, which are desirable even for great demigods, because I have no son. Therefore, O great sage, please save me and my forefathers, who are descending to the darkness of hell because I have no progeny. Kindly do something so that I may have a son to deliver us from hellish conditions.
In response to the request of Maharaj Chitraketu, Angira Rishi, who was born of Lord Brahma's mind, was very merciful toward him.
Because the sage was a greatly powerful personality, he performed a sacrifice by offering oblations of sweet rice to Tvashta. O Pariksit Maharaj, best of the Bharatas, the remnants of the food offered in the yajna were given by the great sage Angira to the first and most perfect among Chitraketu's millions of queens, whose name was Krita Dyuti. Thereafter, the great sage told the king,
O great king, now you will have a son who will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation.
The sage then left without waiting for Chitraketu's response. As Kritika Devi, after receiving the semen of Lord Shiva from Agni, conceived a child named Skanda or Kartikeya, Krita Dyuti, having received semen from Chitraketu, became pregnant after eating remnants of food from the yajna performed by Angira. After receiving semen from Maharaj Chitraketu, the king of Shurasena, Queen Krita Dyuti gradually developed in her pregnancy, O King Pariksit, just as the moon develops during the bright fortnight. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son was born to the king. Hearing news of this, all the inhabitants of the state of Shurasena were extremely pleased. King Chitraketu was especially pleased. After purifying himself by bathing and by decorating himself with ornaments, he engaged learned Brahmins in offering benedictions to the child and performing the birth ceremony. Unto the Brahmins, who took part in the ritualistic ceremony, the king gave charity of gold, silver, garments, ornaments, villages, horses, and elephants, as well as 60 crores of cows, or 600 million cows. As a cloud indiscriminately pours water on the earth, the beneficent King Chitraketu, to increase the reputation, opulence, and longevity of his son, distributed like rainfall all desirable things to everyone. When a poor man gets some money after great difficulty, his affection for the money increases daily. Similarly, when King Chitraketu, after great difficulty, received a son, his affection for the son increased day after day. The mother's attraction and attention to the son, like that of the child's father, excessively increased. The other wives, seeing Krita Dyuti's son, were very much agitated, as if by high fevers, with the desire to have sons. As King Chitraketu fostered his son very carefully, his affection for Queen Krita Dyuti increased, but gradually he lost affection for the other wives who had no sons. The other queens were extremely unhappy due to their being sonless. Because of the king's negligence toward them, they condemned themselves in envy and lamented. A wife who has no sons is neglected at home by her husband and dishonored by her co-wives, exactly like a maidservant. Certainly such a woman is condemned in every respect because of her sinful life. Even maidservants who are constantly engaged in rendering service to the husband are honored by the husband, and thus they have nothing for which to lament. Our position, however, is that we are maidservants of the maidservant. Therefore, we are most unfortunate. Being neglected by her husband and seeing Krita Dyuti's opulence in possessing a son, Krita Dyuti's co-wives always burned in envy, which became extremely strong. As their envy increased, they lost their intelligence. Being extremely hard-hearted and unable to tolerate the king's neglect, they finally administered poison to the son. Unaware of the poison administered by her co-wives, Queen Krita Dyuti walked within the house, thinking that her son was sleeping deeply. She did not understand that he was dead. Thinking that her child had been sleeping for a long time, Queen Kritaduti, who was certainly very intelligent, ordered the nurse, "My dear friend, please bring my son here." When the maidservant approached the child, who was lying down, she saw that his eyes were turned upward. There were no signs of life, all his senses having stopped, and she could understand that the child was dead. Seeing this, she immediately cried, "Now I am doomed," and fell to the ground. In great agitation, the maidservant struck her breast with both hands and cried loudly in regretful words. Hearing her loud voice, the queen immediately came, and when she approached her son, she saw that he was suddenly dead. In great lamentation, her hair and dress in disarray, the queen fell to the ground, unconscious. O King Pariksit, hearing the loud crying, all the inhabitants of the palace came, both men and women. Being equally aggrieved, they also began to cry. The queens who had administered the poison also cried portentously, knowing full well their offense. When King Chitraketu heard of his son's death from unknown causes, he became almost blind. Because of his great affection for his son, his lamentation grew like a blazing fire, and as he went to see the dead child, he kept slipping and falling on the ground. Surrounded by his ministers and other officers and the learned Brahmins present, the king approached and fell unconscious at the child's feet, his hair and dress scattered. When the king, breathing heavily, regained consciousness, his eyes were tearful, and he could not speak. When the queen saw her husband, King Chitraketu, merged in great lamentation, and saw the dead child, who was the only son in the family, she lamented in various ways. This increased the pain in the cores of the hearts of all the inhabitants of the palace, the ministers, and all the Brahmins. The garland of flowers decorating the queen's head fell, and her hair scattered. Falling tears melted the collyrium on her eyes and moistened her breasts, which were covered with kunkum powder. As she lamented the loss of her son, her loud crying resembled the sweet sound of a korari bird. She sobbed, "Alas, O Providence, O Creator, you are certainly inexperienced in creation. For during the lifetime of a father, you have caused the death of his son, thus acting in opposition to your creative laws. If you are determined to contradict these laws, you are certainly the enemy of living entities and are never merciful. My lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or God. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. My dear son, I am helpless and very much aggrieved. You should not give up my company. Just look at your lamenting father. We are helpless because without a son, we shall have to suffer the distress of going to the darkest hellish regions. You are the only hope by which we can get out of these dark regions. Therefore, I request you not to go any further with the merciless Yama.
Oh, my dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation. Oh, my dear son, I am certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have been taken from this planet to another, from which you will not return. Oh, my dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice.
Accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narada Rishi. Thus ends the 14th chapter of the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation.